and welcome to Mind Matters, the podcast featuring experts and advocates in the mental health and substance use field across Central Florida. Today, we are talking about self-criticism and self-compassion. My name is Wendy Bacardi. I'm so happy to be your host today. A little bit about me. I'm a licensed mental health counselor. I'm a healthcare liaison and also just an advocate at heart. Today's podcast is brought to you by L'Amistad Behavioral Health Services, University Behavioral Center, Palm Point Behavioral, and Central Florida Behavioral. We provide a full continuum of mental health and substance use care, including outpatient, acute, and residential levels of care for youth and adults across Central Florida. I am so happy to welcome Sandra Stafford, who is a licensed psychotherapist, with us today. Hi, Sandra.
Hey, Wendy. How are you?
Good. It's so nice to have you on today.
Good to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
You're absolutely welcome. Sandra is a consultant in EMDR therapy, a regional trainer for FOMCA, and her office, she has a private practice, is located in Titusville, Florida, so not too far from Orlando area.
No.
So let's get right into it. Let's jump in here. Like I said, we're talking a little bit about self-criticism and self-compassion. I think we can all relate to those two things. And I mean, personally, I can tell you it can be a struggle, especially with all of the influences in our world today and measuring up. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what causes critical self-talk to develop.
Wendy, I was really surprised when I started studying self-criticism and realizing that it shows up as a protector. It shows up in our lives to, I'm going to say that nasty, ugly thing to myself before you say it to me.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And beginning to see that self-criticism is showing up as an advocate, not necessarily a healthy advocate, but it is there to go, okay, just go ahead and say it first. Go ahead and prepare yourself. So that when your mother says that to you, or when your spouse says that to you, or when your boss says that to you, you're already going to be prepared. So it develops over time because it can come from environments where, so many different environments that we grow up in. We tend to think it's the chaotic environments. And that's true. It can show up where there's abuse. It can show up where people grow up in a home where they're just not valued. They come home and they look in the fridge and there's mayonnaise and butter in there and they don't have it. And then they're criticized for wanting to have a snack after school. It shows up where, look, even wanted children who have this pressure on them to perform, so wanted, and it comes from such a good place in a parent to be like, oh my word, we're so happy that you're in our family and we had infertility and we tried so hard. It can actually put a lot of pressure on a child to perform, to be that A student, to be that.
You know, we see that a lot with the kids that we work with in our hospitals and our residential facilities, that just one desire to be perfect or to please your parents or to be the best, to be the best, to be the best. And that's a whole lot when you're 10, 11, 12 years old. And then as you grow up, you know, as a woman, if someone compliments you, I got this on sale, or, you minimize, at least I find myself doing that. So does that all kind of play in to self-talk?
It absolutely all plays into it, where we have either this expectation to be perfect, where there might be a rigid code of standards. We don't, you're going to represent the family in a certain way. We argue on the way to church, but when you get out of that car, you better straighten up and say God is good.
Yes.
Right?
I grew up like that. I can definitely understand that. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And it does show up. And this is something that I think is so important to understand, that it does show up as an advocate inside of us. And how we handle that advocate inside of us, number one, if you don't mind me going on and answering about, you know, how do we begin to develop self-compassion? Right. How we develop that is, number one, to recognize, criticism just showed up. I just said to myself, I'm stupid. I just said, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that. Oh, you're just like awful. You're so awful to think that way. You're so judgmental. But the first thing you want to do after recognizing it is to then, this is going to sound really weird, is to thank it for showing up.
Interesting.
Right?
So recognize it and then just kind of make a verbal or mental.
Tell me
more about that. I want to hear more about that.
I will, because when I learned this, oh, I'm sorry, I talked over you.
That's okay.
When I learned this, it was shocking to me. Because as the last thing I would think of is to thank criticism. But right. It made sense, because this is what I do when it shows up in my life, is I'll say, you know what? There you are, criticism. You are showing up to protect me, and I thank you for that. I thank you that you want to keep me, to preserve my heart, to protect myself. But I've gotten healthier and I'm working on getting healthier. And so even though I know that's a part of me that's shown up to protect me, I want to talk to myself in a kinder way. But I want to thank you for wanting to protect me.
Oh, that's power. I literally have goosebumps on my arm right now. I love that tip. I really do. So what are the benefits of compassionate self-talk?
I love the benefits of compassionate self-talk. I'm going to take this from a book written by Kristen Neff.
Okay.
And she wrote a book called Fierce Self-Compassion. And she says that they have so many studies on self-compassion, and she's like a self-compassion guru. But here you go. You ready for the list?
I'm ready. Give it to me.
Put your seatbelt on. So people who are more self-compassionate tend to be happier, more hopeful, more optimistic, more satisfied with their lives. They're grateful. They're less anxious. They're less depressed, less stressed, less fearful. They're less likely to contemplate suicide or abuse drugs and alcohol. They're wiser and emotionally intelligent, and they have a positive body image. So they're less likely to develop eating disorders. Do you want me to go on? I mean, there's so many.
These sound like all the things we want. Yes, right? Yes, yes, yes.
Right? And that's the benefit of self-compassion, is to show yourself grace, to give yourself a break.
Yeah. So it's not like running from it or ignoring it. It's meeting it head on. Here you are. Here's what you are. And this is what I'm going to do about it.
Thank you for saying that, because I liken it to when self-criticism or even anxiety or depression, when they show up, many of our tendencies is to getting the boxing ring with it.
Ooh.
Why are you here? What are you saying? And you're just boxing away at that. And it only exacerbates it.
That makes sense.
Right? It doesn't calm it down. So if you acknowledge it, thank it, there's an acceptance that, okay, this is a part of me that's showing up, and then begin to speak to yourself more kindly, then you already see some of the benefits from that. Also, your relationships with your family and your friends is more positive, because like you said about it, if someone says to you, that is the cutest outfit, when we say, oh, this old thing has been hanging in the closet for months, that doesn't receive what that person is giving to you. And in fact, it feels like a wall. And they'll go, well, I don't know if I'm going to compliment her again. She can't even say thank you. And so that practice of thank you says, I'm receiving what you're giving me. And I'm also being kind to myself by acknowledging I really look cute in this.
I love that. I'm also thinking while you're talking about our children and, you know, teaching them how to use this skill and practicing it on their own. Instead of saying, you know, when your kid says, oh, I'm stupid, I don't know how to do this, instead of saying, oh, no, you're not, you're so smart, blah, 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 blah. You know, wouldn't it be helpful? And wouldn't this be a great tool for them to have in their pocket to begin to try it out on their own and have that as they grow up?
Oh, my goodness gracious. It would change the world.
Right? I know. Right. We need more of this.
It really begins with us as adults And as parents, I grew up in the 60s and 70s. No one knew anything about comfort or compassion. It was stop crying, or I'll give you something to cry about. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, if they're not playing with you on the playground, just go play with someone else. Even sometimes, what's wrong with you? Why are you crying so much? Why are you so sensitive? And so it's rewiring those of us who are adults to go, this doesn't even feel good. Mm-hmm. And if I want to stop the generational beliefs, it must start with me as an adult and as a parent, if I'm a parent.
Yes.
It must start with me. Right?
I love that. Yeah, you're right. You're so right. So yeah. You talk a little bit about the three elements of self-compassion. What are those three elements?
Well, thank you for asking. One of them, and this again is from Kristen Neff's work, but the first is just that self-kindness. And how do we begin to develop self-kindness? I think of it like how I would talk to a friend. Like when I accidentally threw away pieces of a very expensive light. I had my husband take a box to the dump. And my first words to myself when I had this realization that this expensive, I had to buy another one. Honestly, the first thing I said to myself, oh my gosh, you're so stupid. Which are words I rarely say to myself, but it was such a big thing that happened that I just felt, oh my gosh, how could I be so, I normally don't even take things to the dump for days. Why was I so insistent that this go to the dump right now? But the next thing on that is, and I didn't know about thanking that. I do now. Now I would stop and thank it.
Right.
But is sitting and going, what would I say to a friend in this situation? Because many times it's much easier to show kindness to a friend.
That's true.
Than it is to ourselves. So many people will say, I just can't say that. It just feels awkward. It doesn't feel right to say nice things to myself. Well, treat yourself like a friend. Mm. What would you say? And so one of the elements of self-compassion is that self-kindness and being determined. It doesn't feel good to be criticized. So even though that feels familiar and kindness is unfamiliar, let kindness become your familiar.
Mm. So it takes practice.
It takes practice. Have you ever bought a new pair of shoes that you adore and they pinch?
Now you're talking to me. Yes. But you want to wear them so bad.
Determined to wear those shoes because they're so cute. Well, self-kindness is cute. And it doesn't feel right the minute you put those shoes on. You go, wow, this kind of pinches. This feels weird. But the longer you wear those shoes, you don't want to throw them out.
Yes.
And the same it will be in self-kindness. The longer you begin to practice that toward yourself, then you're going to go, wow, I wish I had done this sooner. So that's one element of self-compassion. The second element is called common humanity. And it is realizing we're all in the same boat. Like so many people think, oh my gosh, I got this email and I wasn't hired for this job. I'm the only one that ever got an email that said, thank you for applying, but, or I'm the only one that just thought and thought, what outfit am I going to wear to be at this event? And I just, for hours, and I finally pick up that outfit. And on the way, I look down and there's a spot on my outfit. And I think, I'm the only one. Common humanity is realizing this happens to everybody.
Right.
You could go in a group and find out most everybody in that group has got an email that said, thank you for applying. Mm-hmm. And so that self-compassion comes in going, I'm human. And all these things that are happening, they happen to other people too. And therefore, I can find some grace for myself in that. I'm not the only one.
Yes. Yeah. I think sometimes naming it too, you know, anytime I've ever done that or been embarrassed or, you know, started having those self non-confidence moments and just putting it out there. And wouldn't you know, usually someone's like, oh yeah, me too. Or I feel that as well. And you're like, really? Mm-hmm. I thought I was the only one.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that why we love support groups?
Yes. And they're so powerful. Yes. That common... There's something beautiful about sharing commonalities with other human beings.
Absolutely.
It bonds us.
It does. It bonds us and we go, I'm not the only one. So that's a part of self-compassion. And the third component is mindfulness. And Kristen Neff gives some beautiful research on this that I'd like to share with their audience. Is she says that neuroscientists have identified how the brain works. When a difficult event happens, your brain goes into default mode. And that minute something happens for which you're going to criticize yourself, your brain goes backwards to all the time something like this has happened before. And this is a nanosecond.
Oh, wow.
And it goes forward to all the times your brain might think this could happen again. And there's just a flood of emotions that will happen in that moment. And so mindfulness is part of self-compassion because you want to recognize your brain will go backwards and forwards. You want to encapsulate that moment of what just happened and let it stand on its own. Mm-hmm. And when you're able to do that, you'll be able to show some compassion to yourself and realize, wait a minute, I don't have to be so flooded. I can go, wow, I just burped in front of a bunch of professionals. That was embarrassing, but I don't have to think about all the other times it happened or all the times it could. I can just say that was embarrassing. Okay. Everybody, common humanity.
Yeah.
Everybody has burped at some point in front of someone they didn't want to burp in front of. So
yeah, it's that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the three elements of self-compassion and how to flesh them out.
Well, thank you so much for sharing those tips that are just super useful in our everyday life, things that we can start using today. They don't cost any money. It doesn't take a whole lot of work, just practice and trying it.
And it's worth it. If you look again at the benefits of self-compassion and see that it is beneficial in every way, it's the best gift that you could give yourself and others who are in your life.
Yes, 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 yes to all of that. All right, I've got one last question for you, Sandra, and we're going to leave it at this. What are you excited about right now?
I'm excited about so many things. If I start with my family, I'm just excited that we all live in the same city together now, that everybody's
wonderful. Here.
And that is wonderful because family is so important to me. I'm excited about my career and starting on my own at Sandra B. Stanford Counseling in Titusville. I was with a practice for many years and now I'm out on my own.
How would people reach out to you if they wanted to?
My website is Sandra, S-A-N-D-R-A, B as in boy, Stanford, S-T-A-N-F-O-R-D, counseling.com. So they find me there or on Psychology Today. And lastly, I'm excited because I'm working on becoming a basic trainer in EMDR therapy. And I hope by this time next year to have my first basic training under my belt.
So, oh, that's so exciting. I love all those things for you.
Thank you for asking.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking a little time to spend with us today and helping us choose happiness and choose all of the wonderful things that can make our life better through self-talk. For anyone who's listening today, if you or a loved one would like more information on the services that either Sandra provides through her outpatient service or through our full continuum of care, please visit our website. We provide a full continuum of mental health and substance use care, including outpatient, acute, and residential level services for mental health and substance use care for all ages. And thanks so much for spending your time with us today. And we'll see you next time on Mind Matters. Have a great day, everyone.